As you turn there, I will lead us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us here together on this Lord's Day. We thank you for your holy word that we are about to hear read and proclaimed. We pray that you would give us attentive ears and hearts that are ready to receive your word. That we who have trusted in Christ, that through your word we would be conformed more and more into his likeness. For those gathered here who need encouragement, we pray that you would use this time to encourage them. For those who are here who need correction, we pray that you would use this time to correct them. We pray also for the lost who are gathered here today. It is in your providence and in your sovereignty that they are here, and I pray that you would go out with the word as it is proclaimed and draw them to yourself through your Son Jesus. That they would trust in him and know his salvation. O Lord, bless our time in your word this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading and hearing God's word. Again, we are in Ruth chapter 3. This is what the word of the Lord says. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative, with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring your garment. Bring the garment you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did it fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me. For he said to me, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." May God bless the reading and hearing of his words. You may be seated. When I was a kid, I suffered from chronic migraines. And I remember one trip in particular where we were on our way back home from my sister's house in my grandparents' minivan, and I was riding in the back seat with my mother, and I got one of these migraines. And as one sometimes does when their head hurts, and I was a kid, I would cry and moan. And I would say things like, I want to go home. I want to be home. And then even when I got home, or to my house at least, I would still say those same things. I want to be home. My mom would, of course, be confused by this saying and not understand. And I didn't fully understand what I meant by those words either. I wanted to be a place, or at a place, where I could rest, where the pain would go away, where I felt safe and secure. But of course, even my own home, my own house, it was broken. For my parents had been divorced and my dad was not there. I wanted to go home. I wanted a place where I could rest from the pain, from the worries, from the cares, from the difficulties that a young man like myself went through. And even as time would go on, every time I would be very ill, or every time where I would be hurt, either emotionally or spiritually or physically, I would remember either thinking or verbally saying, I just want to be home. Even when I was in the house where I lived. And I think this longing that I had as a young man, I think it is a longing that is common to all of us. A longing for rest, a longing for peace, a longing for safety, a longing for a place and to be around people where we feel like we can be ourselves and just rest. And we find something similar in this story that I just read to you. There is a search and a longing for rest. If you remember all the way back in chapter 1, as Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah were having this discussion as to whether or not the daughter-in-laws needed to return to their own people, to their own households, Naomi encourages them, go, find rest, have a home, have a place of security and safety. Leave me, I have nothing to offer you. And of course, we know that Orpah went. But Ruth cleaved to her mother-in-law. And her mother-in-law is grateful. And she wants to find rest for her daughter-in-law who loved her. Now our passage, it answers several questions. Will Naomi and Ruth find rest? And if they do, where will it come from? Or to make it more personal, is there a place we can go where we can have rest? Is there a place where our brokenness can be made whole? Is there a place where the chaos around us, where we can go to it and even find peace in the midst of chaos? And if so, where? And by retelling the story and reobserving and beholding what we find in this passage, I hope to answer those questions for you this morning. There are three scenes in our story that I want us to behold. So to start, behold rest planned. Behold rest planned. In verse 1, we discover that Naomi desires to find rest for Ruth. She wants Ruth to have a home, to have a husband, to have children, to experience the blessings, the covenant blessings that God had promised to his people because Ruth has joined the people of God. And she states something, she alludes to something, to her own faith that God will provide. Is not Boaz a redeemer? Is not Boaz one member of my husband's family who can deliver us from our poverty and our plight and our difficulty? And haven't you been staying with his women. And of course, we know that Ruth has been staying with Boaz's women, and through that has gained food and provision time and time again. But the harvest is about to end, and Naomi knows that Ruth needs something more than daily grain. She needs rest. So Naomi makes a plan. She tells Ruth to put on her best clothes. She tells Ruth to clean herself up. And she tells Ruth to go to Boaz at the threshing floor, where he is winnowing his grain. And to winnow is to use a multi-pronged pitchfork to toss threshed grain up in the air so that when the wind would blow, the grain would be separated from the straw. It was so that he could get his harvest. And Naomi tells Ruth, go there. Don't go when everyone's watching, but once the man has ate and drank his full, and once he has go to bed, go uncover his feet and wait. And she says that Boaz will tell her what she needs to do. Now our mind, as we read this story, may think that something scandalous is being planned. It is strange, isn't it? That's not the normal way to approach a man. But that's what Naomi says. There is nothing scandalous about this. All that Naomi is telling Ruth to do is go and essentially propose marriage to Boaz. Nothing else. She wants her to be ready for it. She wants her to be prepared. She wants her to do all things. She wants no even appearance of evil, which is why she tells her to go when no one else is watching. And the passage tells us that Ruth agreed to do everything that Naomi said. We have beheld rest planned. Additionally, behold rest pursued. Behold rest pursued. Ruth really did do everything that Naomi told her to do. She goes, she waits for Boaz to eat, she waits for him to drink his full, and she waits for him to go to sleep. And when no one is awake or watching, she creeps in, she uncovers his feet, and she goes to sleep there. And the passage describes what happens next in a very vivid way. In the middle of the night, he's startled, and he rolls over and discovers, there's a lady at the end of my bed. And of course, he asks the next logical question, who are you? And it might be implied, what are you doing here? And Ruth tells him who she is. And she tells him to cover her with his wings, or some translations, with the edge of his garment. And again, nothing scandalous is being done here. And she refers to him as a redeemer. In other words, Ruth is just simply proposing marriage. She's saying, marry me, rescue me, save me. And what's implied is also save my mother-in-law. Restore us with the properties that have been lost in the loss of my husband. And again, he's referred to as a redeemer. And Ruth's request or proposal for marriage, it sounds very similar to some of the language that we find when God, looking at his rebellious people, says that he wants to restore and redeem them. We read in Ezekiel 16:8, God speaking, when I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were at the age for love, and I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord, and you became mine. If we apply that to this text, Ruth is saying, make me yours. Marry me. And Boaz is astonished by this woman's request. He says that she did not go after younger men, whether rich or poor. He's not saying I'm very old and would be undesirable. That's not what he's saying of himself. But he's simply acknowledging that Ruth is not mainly looking out for her own interest. She is looking out for the interest of her mother-in-law. She goes to a redeemer, to one who can save them from their plight, to one who could restore all the properties, all the safeties, all the securities that were lost when Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion all died. And he tells her, I will do as you ask. But he adds a caveat. He says, there is another redeemer. There is another relative who is closer, who is next in line. First, I will go ask him, and if he redeems you, good, you're redeemed. But if he refuses, I will do it. I will redeem you. And Boaz tells all of his servants to inform no one that this woman has visited. Because again, no appearance of scandal. This is a holy request from a holy woman. He calls her a worthy woman. If you remember in chapter 1, Boaz is referred to as a worthy man. In this story, we have two upright, worthy, holy, godly people. Ruth is desiring to be redeemed, and Boaz desires to redeem her. I remember the day when I proposed to my wife. I remember before it happened, I had to prepare for every detail. I needed to make sure that I had the ring. I needed to make sure I had Lauren there with me. I even had it planned down to what side she would sit on, as I had one of my friends camped out across the pond with an Eagle lens camera to take pictures of it. I planned every detail. Even before that, I had to earn her parents' respect and trust, and I had to ask them if I could even make the request, and I did it. I went through the steps. I did everything that was required in order to ask my wife to marry me. And we see that Ruth is doing these same things. She follows the plan that Naomi made to the smallest detail. She made herself presentable. She went in secret. She went right to his feet as she had been told. And then she asked him to redeem her. And just as my wife thankfully said yes to me, so also Boaz promises that one way or another, Ruth is going to be redeemed, either by his hand or by the hand of the Redeemer who is closer than him. So we have beheld rest planned and pursued. Now finally, behold rest promised. Behold rest promised. Even at the end of that scene, Boaz says that he is going to do what she has asked. But after that, when the morning comes or before the morning comes, he gives Ruth grain, food, barley, to take to be with her mother-in-law. And Ruth goes home to her mother-in-law, and Naomi asks, how did it fare for you, my daughter? And Ruth tells her everything that had happened, and she shows her what Boaz had given her. And then Naomi declares that the man will not rest until he has done all that he said he would do. He will do as he said. Naomi understood the kind of man that Boaz was. And ultimately, all three characters in this story understood what kind of God their God was. Although God's name is mentioned only a couple of times, it is true undeniably true that it is He who is operating in the background, that He is orchestrating all these events, that as Ruth had placed her faith in Him in the beginning, and as they arrived during the time of harvest, after the famine, and provisions were made for them, God is providing for His people. And He's using people like Naomi. He's using people like Ruth. He's using people like Boaz to accomplish His purposes. Now, after Lauren had said yes to our proposal, or to my proposal, we weren't married right then and there, were we? I had to wait. Wait far too long, in my opinion. But I had to wait. The wedding had not yet taken place. It had to be planned. All these other things had to take place. I was engaged, and my wife had given her verbal agreement to marry me. A promise was given. And then I had to wait. And so also we find the same instance in this story. Boaz makes a promise. Naomi refers to that promise and how that promise will be kept. But as our story ends in chapter 3, they have to wait. It's not done yet. But rest is right around the corner. Boaz is not going to rest until he gets done what he said he would do. And once he does that, Naomi and Ruth will finally receive the rest that they planned for, that they pursued, and that was promised to them. And I asked at the beginning, will Naomi and Ruth find rest? Can we find rest? And the answer to that question, of course, is yes. Yes, they will find rest. And yes, you and me also can find rest. And then the second part of that question, where do they find rest? Where does it come from? Where can we find rest? And to bring all that together for our big idea is your God provides rest. Your God provides rest. It is from Him that true rest comes. And there are three responses that we should have to this truth that I want to go over briefly. Number one, your God provides rest, so rely on Him. Your God provides rest, so rely on Him. In this story, particularly in Ruth, we see an example of living real faith. She has relied on the Lord throughout the entirety of this story, beginning in chapter 1, all the way up to this point. And Boaz, in chapter 2, even says, "May God repay you, Ruth, for the faith that you have placed in Him. May God cover you with His wings. May the edge of the garment of God cover over you." And we see that by what Ruth says to Boaz, that she believes that God is going to use him to be the one who delivers her, who redeems her. All that Ruth does in this story is a testimony, a proclamation of her living and active faith. And one commentator rightly observes a number of truths about faith. Number one, faith is intentional. We must place our faith in God. No one can do it for us. We have to exercise it. We see also that faith is vulnerable. When we place our faith in Christ, we are casting away all other means of salvation. We are no longer trusting in ourselves. We are no longer trusting in anything other than Christ and Christ alone. We see that faith is intimate. It is a deeply personal thing. They do everything in the story is done in private. She is displaying faith in the Lord as she goes to Boaz and seeks redemption. We see that faith is grounded in covenant promises. All of this stems back to the fact that God is faithful. God has promised that He will be the God of His people, and they will be His people. He's promised it. He will care for them. He will protect them. He will provide for them. And because of that, Ruth acts. We see that faith is effective, true faith. It always renders results. True saving faith is never empty or vain in the results that it acquires. When Ruth went out, she did not return home empty-handed, did she? When she trusted in the Lord, when she trusted the word of His servants, whether Naomi or Boaz, none of it did not reap a reward. When we trust in Christ, Christ does exactly what He has promised to do. When we trust in Him, He does save us. He does help us. He does acquire for us the forgiveness of sins. He does promise unto us eternal life. He does promise to be with us through the thick and the thin of life. Finally, faith involves waiting. True faith involves waiting. More on that in a moment. Believer, do you have faith like that of Ruth? I want to encourage you, rely on the Lord. Trust in Him and allow Him to transform you day by day. Rely on Him, and you will not regret it. God is faithful. Your God provides rest. Therefore, rely on Him. Number two, your God provides rest. Therefore, respond to Him. Respond to Him. We are told a number of times, or at least twice. We are told once that Ruth agreed to do everything that Naomi told her. And then we are immediately told that Ruth did everything that Naomi told her. True saving faith bears the fruit of obedience. It bears the fruit of holiness. We must become, as God's people, more and more like Jesus. We must seek daily more and more to worship God and God alone. We must seek to honor God with our words and our speech and how we talk about Him in particular and talk in general. We must seek to honor the Lord by gathering with the saints on the Lord's day, worshiping Him, and seeking to encourage fellow believers as we ourselves are encouraged by them. We must seek to honor the Lord in the society in which we live, praying for those who God has put in authority over us and obeying them when they make just commands of us. We, of course, must not murder. Instead, we must honor the lives of those around us. We must fight for the sake of those who are unable to fight for themselves. Life must be honored from conception all the way until the grave. We must love people. We must not steal. Rather, earn what we have through honest means and be generous rather than greedy. We must not lie or bear false witness about others, but instead tell the truth because God has commanded us to tell the truth. Rather than coveting what others have and to take it from them so that we may have it ourselves, we must learn to be content with what God has given us. Indeed, if we claim to have faith, that faith should change us from the inside out. Our Lord Jesus does not demand just part of our life. He demands all of it. And in the case of Ruth, we see an example of a godly yet imperfect person seeking to live out her faith, even in the smallest details. She did not put herself first. She put her mother-in-law first. She forsook her idols, her culture, her former way of life to become a part of the people of God. Christian, indeed, you must trust in Jesus, but you should also obey him in whatever he tells you to do. Your God provides rest. Therefore, rely on him and respond to him. Thirdly and lastly, your God provides rest. Therefore, remain for him. Or put differently, wait for him. Most of the Christian life, this side of glory, can be described as us waiting on God. It is true that all the promises of God find their yes and their amen in the Lord Jesus. But we do not yet experience the fullness of the blessings that Jesus has secured for us. It is true that we have been forgiven of our sins. But every day we still struggle against sin, don't we? It is true that we have been promised eternal life. Yet every day we are faced with the reality of our own death and the death of those who love us. It is true that we can have peace and experience peace even here and now. And that God has removed the wall of hostility that separated us. And yet we still struggle with one another, don't we? But there will come a day where all the blessings that Christ has secured for us and what he has done, we will experience them in full. Every tear will be wiped away. All of the little remnants of sin that are in you, they will be completely removed from you as far as the east is from the west, as Chris mentioned earlier. There will come a day when death will be no more, where the devil will be judged for all eternity, unable to lead any astray. But we have to wait. We have to wait. Ruth and Naomi were waiting. We, like them, must also wait for the rest, the eternal rest that God has promised in Christ. When I was a kid, I would often cry out, I want to go home. I want to be home. I didn't even know then what exactly I was saying. I wanted in those times the rest that only God can provide. And we all want that rest. We all long for that rest. And the good news is that God does provide that rest for his people. He provides it for them in his Son. And if you are not a believer, I know that life can chew you up and spit you out. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Jesus is not a liar. Unbeliever, I offer to you today salvation and rest. God's word offers to you today salvation and rest. Trust in Jesus. He is the greater Boaz. He is the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who can rescue you from sin, death, and the devil. Trust in him. Trust in his sacrifice on the cross. Trust in his victory and his resurrection. Trust that he now sits at heaven and intercedes for his people and will one day return and make all things new. Trust in Jesus. In our story today, we saw rest planned, we saw rest pursued, and we saw rest promised. And as we beheld those truths, those actions, that story, we were faced with the truth that your God provides rest. So may God help us all to rely on Him. May God help us all to respond to Him. May God help us all to remain for Him. Let's pray.